time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, this is Lee Bockham. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast. This is the podcast that's designed to help you live a more thriving life no matter what life throws your way. Now, I've got to tell you, I am a full-time thriveologist, but really only a part-time thriver, which means that I spend all of my life studying how other people thrive, and I hope to apply it more and more to my own life. There are many places where I could add into my thriving, and probably today is a good place for that, and I think it's a place where we all struggle. Today, I want to talk about self-compassion and why self-compassion is more important than self-confidence. We live in a Western culture, and particularly in this U.S. culture that has really two pieces to it. One is the kind of the Puritan remnant that makes us all have that guilty feeling that we're not quite enough. We're not quite good enough, that somehow we ought to be doing more. Somehow we ought to be better. And that we all know that kind of that place within us that doesn't feel quite right. And that's added to this other piece, which is our belief in, at least in the U.S., in the pursuit of happiness. And what we've done in that pursuit of happiness is really dumbed it down to make the pursuit of happiness really the pursuit of that momentary feeling. Not what the founding fathers meant, which was the pursuit of happiness was about living a life of purpose, living a life of deep satisfaction. We've kind of dumbed it down like we tend to do in the U.S. with lots of different pieces. And what that does is it creates a problem. And the problem is that we have a keen awareness of our internal feelings. We have a keen awareness of when we fall short, when, you know, we have those places where we go, wow, I should have done better. I could have done better. And we compare those internal feelings to the external piece. As other people have said, that what we're doing is we're comparing our kind of our clips, right? The foibles and the fall aparts with the final reel that other people have. So while we have those pieces that are the clippings that we should leave on the ground, we're comparing that with what we're seeing as the outer piece for other people. We're watching other people and going, wow, they've got their act together. Wow, they've been successful. And usually what we do is we cherry pick what they're successful about. And often what we find down the road is that their success wasn't quite what they were pretending it to be, that they were suffering from the same kind of issues and doubts that we all have. And all we have to do is look at the multitude of celebrities and people who have, in quotes, made it in our world to see their own lives falling apart as they have doubts and they have worries. And then we find about their own little shortfallings, enough to know that we probably ought to be careful on how we chastise ourselves. But there's another problem. And that is this concept of self-esteem that we have in our culture. And it's not that the problem of self-esteem is bad as much as we have so greatly simplified it that we've made it into a problem. See, self-confidence is seen as a starting point that, you know, once I have enough self-confidence, then I'll be able to go out and do this. I'll be able to go out and do that. And we've tied self-confidence and self-esteem together. Self-esteem is the feeling one holds of themselves. And so we say, you know, once I have enough confidence, I'll go tackle that. But self-esteem was supposed to be about how we feel good about doing good stuff. That was what Nathaniel Branden first talked about when he talked about self-esteem. And it was a great idea that when we do good stuff, when we really pour ourselves into our life and find ways of really doing good stuff, that we feel good about ourselves, that that's the nature of that. And you can only think back on some times when you've been helpful for other people. You know, you've done a good deed, maybe you volunteered somewhere, and you left there and you had that glow, that feeling of goodness. Well, that was what Nathaniel Branden was talking about. But all we did is instead of talking about feeling good for doing good, we picked out the feeling good part. We should feel good about ourselves. And so that we tend to do that in all of psychology. We like to dumb it down and so simplify it that usually isn't particularly helpful. And so that's particularly true with this idea of self-esteem. So now we set out on a culture where we should just feel good about ourselves. And there's only one problem. We struggle with what we know is going on the inside. Now add that to our protective culture. And what you notice is the changes that have happened in parenting. We've created this protective culture where we want kids, we want to cushion their self-esteem and raise their self-esteem and make them feel good about themselves because we've heard that that's what's so important. And so we give praise for effort. And that's one of the big changes that has happened in the education system, that a child should be praised for the effort, not for the product. And yet, many times, it's hard to tell how hard that child is trying. And so the child knows what's going on. And then we create that, we push that into the sports where, you know, there are no scores held in those Little League games anymore and that trophies go out for all of them. But I can tell you, as having both coached and been a parent for that, every adult in that stand knows the score. And so does every one of those children. And they also know that that trophy meant very little because everybody got one. So if everybody's getting one, it reduces the level of what that really meant. And so even in our efforts to kind of protect our children and not have their self-esteem buffeted, we've missed out on another opportunity. And that's about teaching them self-compassion, which ends up being a bigger predictor of how people do and how happy they are in life. So let's talk some about what I mean by this self-esteem versus self-compassion. Well, self-esteem ends up being about feeling good about ourselves. And the problem is that when we push for raising self-esteem, what we've discovered is that it leads to narcissistic beliefs and inflated senses of the self. And that creates a fearful place because now we have a culture that wants to feel good about themselves without challenging themselves to see if they should feel good. And we have not just that generation, but all of our culture has grabbed onto that. And so we all tend to go towards wanting to feel good without having that sense of self challenged. So anything that comes along that scares us, we might say, oh, you know, I just don't have the self-confidence right now to take that on. Not recognizing that in the self-esteem studies, that the feeling good about it comes after working on it, not before. So what do we do about that? Well, there's this idea of self-compassion. And self-compassion has had a lot of research, and it has a lot of pieces in that that really show some effectiveness in how your life carries on. Dr. Kirsten Neff is one of the leaders in research, and she says that there are three components to this self-compassion that come in times of suffering and failure. I mean, let's face it, when we are on the top of the world, when we're feeling good, when life's going well, when the day has gone well, we probably don't have to give ourselves a whole lot of self-compassion. We've already got that place of sense of self that says, wow, you know, today was really good. Today I did well. And we're not going to think so much about self-compassion. Self-compassion is what kicks in when we're not feeling so good about things, when life hasn't gone so well, when failure has been biting at us. And those three components are this. One, we treat ourselves kindly. Now, think about how many people do otherwise, where on a bad day, they'll chastise themselves and fuss at themselves and tell themselves what a bad job they did, all the way to people who actually harm themselves in different ways to kind of teach themselves a lesson. And so instead, self-compassion is based in treating oneself kindly. Like, what would you do to a friend? How would you treat a friend who had a bad day? You'd pat them on the back and say, wow, you know what? I know it was really tough, but things will get better. And, you know, you handled this part well, and maybe we can work on the other pieces along the way, but it's never a bad you, let me chastise you. So what if self-compassion is more about being a good friend to the self rather than that bad friend that we often experience in those internal words? So first thing is treating oneself kindly. The second is recognizing that one's struggles are really a part of that shared human experience. That the same struggles you're having at the end of the day are the same struggles that other people all around the world have had and have been having for millennia. That the same struggles we have with our kids, that the same struggles we have with work, that the same struggles we have with friends and relationships and significant others have been lasting for generations and generations. And so there's nothing new about what we're experiencing. So we recognize that our struggle is not unique, that it really is a part of that human experience. And what that does is it begins to broaden it out of the context of what's wrong with me to, wow, we humans are funny creatures, right? And the third thing is so important is holding one's painful thoughts and feeling in mindful awareness. This is back to those thoughts. I've talked about this so many times, but our mind is designed to create thoughts. That's just what a mind does. And so the problem with the opposite side of self-compassion is that we judge ourselves by these thoughts. That whenever a thought pops into our heads about how we've done poorly or how we've missed the mark, we tend to buy into it. We tend to listen to it. And I always talk about how sometimes our mind can be a good friend, but how we tolerate that bad friend of the mind, where the mind is just creating thoughts that are picking on you. Just to remind you, the mind is only there to create thoughts. You have a choice on whether you're going to grab those thoughts, whether you're going to hold those thoughts, whether you're going to believe those thoughts. The mind's just creating them. That's just what the mind does. So being able to hold those painful thoughts, to be able to hold those painful feelings that come from those thoughts, just in mindful awareness is being able to say, wow, that's interesting. I'm really having this really bad, thoughtful day. I've got to let that go. Today I was running on a trail, and that trail runs right beside the stream. And as I looked at the stream, I noticed those leaves just drifting down. Here we are, you know, as the leaves are beginning to fall, and they're just drifting down the stream. And that really is kind of like what our thoughts are in a natural place. When we don't grab hold of them, they just drift on away. And so when we are at a place of self-compassion, we can recognize that those negative thoughts that we're holding, those negative thoughts that are creating our negative feelings, really are just thoughts. And so then we can begin to just notice them. And you can notice them in the same way that you might notice a friend who has these negative thoughts going on in their heads and be able to say, you know what? That's just you thinking. You're a little too close right now. You need a little space. And that's what we all need, is a little bit of space. And what I've discovered for myself is when I'm able to say, you know what? That's just a thought. That's not reality. That's just a thought. It gives me just a little bit of distance from it. Now, what I also notice is that sometimes I just want to hold on to those thoughts and I want to chastise myself with those thoughts. That's just a place of lack of self-compassion, where I've not allowed myself to say, hey, you know what? I've really tried there, and that's just a thought, and I need not to get caught up in that thought. Notice the thought and recognize that's just what your mind is doing. And when you do that, you begin to grow that self-compassion out of it. Here's one of my central beliefs that I carry around with me all the time, and as much as I can, try to pull it out and use it. And that is that people do the best they can where they are. Now, this is not about people always being at their optimal. I'm not saying that people are doing the best they can ever. Just that they're doing the best they can where they are right then. That there is a context to how people are reacting and responding. And that context means that we really are doing the best we can where we are right now. That doesn't mean we can't make it better. Doesn't mean that we can't do better down the road. But where we are right now, given all the things going around, that's the best we can do. Now, that is compassion towards other people. When I hold that thought, when I think about that with other people, that's compassion towards other people. But what happens if I apply it to myself? When I apply it to myself, suddenly I'm giving myself compassion. The same compassion I would offer to somebody else, I'm bringing into my own life and saying, you know what? Given where I am right now, I'm doing the best I can. I did the best I can in that. So when things didn't go well, to be able to not excuse myself and let myself off the hook, but to be able to say, wow, you know what? I'm doing the best I can. Now, that brings us to an interesting point. The place between self-compassion and self-improvement. And I would just argue that those are two entirely different dimensions of life. Self-compassion is about right now. I don't feel bad about myself in the future. I feel bad about myself right now, and being able to give myself self-compassion is about offering that place where I'm doing the best I can where I am right now. Now, self-improvement is really about the future. It's looking towards what could be different. And so I'm doing the best I can where I am right now also allows me to say, but I can move to a different place down the road. I can be at a better place by improving myself, by improving my thoughts, by moving towards something better. And so I don't see, a lot of people have said, well, self-compassion just means that you're going to have to accept where you are and that's just it. But they are two very different dimensions. We can be self-compassionate about where we are right now and still seek to do better down the road, to be better, to be an improved self, a higher self. So as you begin to move forward, remember that when those negative thoughts come, treat yourself kindly. Recognize that the struggles you're having, the thoughts you're having, you share with the rest of the human experience. And when you're holding on to those painful thoughts and feelings, remember, they're thoughts. Just thoughts. Your mind is creating them. You don't have to hold on to them. You can let them go. What that does require is that you recognize that thoughts are not nearly as concrete or as important as you've been led to believe. And as you do that, you begin to notice that self-compassion wins the day. You don't have to worry about self-confidence because you're going to move and take action. You don't wait for the self-confidence to come. You decide to take self-action knowing that there is going to be self-compassion on the backside, and you're going to be able to move towards a place of caring for yourself a little bit better down the road. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a compassionate, a self-compassionate, and thriving life.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.